Good morning. Welcome to each of you. It's a privilege to be able to share again, greet you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. My topic this morning is education. Todd had asked if I would be willing to talk on this, preach on this subject as a continuation of reviewing some of the elements of our church covenant, and so I agreed to do that this morning. I'm not a large technology type of person, so I'll try to get through this, but I wanted to be able to put some definitions up on the wall for you to be able to follow along with this morning as I go through this message. Deuteronomy 6 is where our text will be taken from this morning, so if you want to turn there, we will get there here in a little bit. We'll not start with reading that passage. But as we think about education, this morning when I refer to education, I'm referring to the complete training of our children, not specifically just home, church, or school, although we will discuss each one of those things. This is our statement in the church covenant, and I'd just like to read over this together. It says, "We agree that since the church is the pillar and guardian of the truth, it has a vested interest in the education of the children and its members' families. Since Christ is the fountainhead of all true knowledge, every effort should be made to provide a complete, Christ-centered, high-quality education for the children of our congregation. The believing father is primarily responsible to prepare his children, child or children, for all of life. Therefore, in the interests of our accountability to the Scriptures, we expect to assist and encourage fathers in this responsibility." So we think about education and a definition. If you Google the word education, you come up with the basic definition given here: the process of receiving or giving systematic instruction, especially at a school or university. Pretty basic definition. I think we'd all say, okay, makes sense. So I thought, well, what else can we find on definitions for education? A little more in depth. By education, we understand the sum total of those processes whereby a society transmits from one generation to the next its accumulated social, intellectual, and religious experience and heritage. And I read this and I thought, well, that's a pretty decent summary of education. And I thought, well, why do we educate and what's the reason? Is it to see if we have the next Albert Einstein or Thomas Edison among us? Is it to train our children to be responsible citizens that fit into society and are good citizens? Is it to create the next intellect, a great philosopher, the next political leader, the next president? Is it because we are told we have to by the government? Is it to enable them to make a good income and become successful at business and to become prominent in that world? And I thought, well, if you answer these questions by the complete definition, a lot of those we'd say, well, yeah, that's the reason. But I think education is much more than that this morning, and I think we would all agree to that. We need to redefine what Christian education is for us as families. Education is the process of teaching, instructing, training, and disciplining children to bring about salvation through the recognition of a personal need of Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Instruction in academics and scholastics is essential to enable them to further the kingdom of God through personal life, church programs, work, and relationships, both locally and around the globe. And this definition is not all-encompassing for certain, but I do believe it kind of sums up what our goal in education should be and why we train our children. So thinking about this definition, why do we teach? What's the reason? I think first of all, and most importantly, teaching is commanded by the Word of God. Deuteronomy 6, which we will read here in just a little bit. Deuteronomy 11, God commands the children of Israel to teach and to train their children so that they would remember who He is. We teach because we have the most important message to share, that of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We teach because we love those who have been entrusted to us. I had to think, if I'm outside working in the evenings quite often, the boys and Chloe are out riding their bikes, and it's not uncommon to have a crash somewhere along the line, whether they crash into each other or they slide on the stones on the drive. And I get up and run out there and make sure they're okay. And why is that? It's because I love them and I care about them. And the same reason that we teach our children is because we love them. They've been entrusted to us to care, and we want to provide an education for them. Another reason we teach is to protect from danger in a physical sense. We teach our children to stay away from the street. If you live on a busy street, you take your children out there and you mark a line somewhere, you say not to cross a certain point, you spray paint, whatever, and you say, this line won't be crossed. It's because we're wanting to protect them. We teach our children about God and His ways to protect from Satan, from false teachings. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Satan doesn't care if it's young or old. He's looking to destroy. And we need to teach to counter that. We also teach, Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. We teach the fear of the Lord, and this fear is not one of terror or being scared or being afraid. I think we all would recognize that. But it's one of reverence and awe. It's recognizing the holiness of God. It's recognizing His authority and what His place should be in our lives. We sometimes lose sight of that, but we need to communicate that with our children at a young age. It is very elementary and foundational to teaching. There's a part of education that requires personal preparation. And I believe that us as fathers are the primary responsible ones in the homes to teach and to train. Mothers, your job is to assist, to help fulfill the responsibility as well. But in order to teach, we must be willing to first learn and be taught ourselves. We can't teach something that we don't know. We can't give something that we don't have. School teachers are a good example. Most of the time, at least. School teachers can't just show up at school with the students, sit down in class, and tell the students to open to page 37 in their textbooks, and open it up that morning and not have looked at the lesson at all, not have studied beforehand. It wouldn't work. It's not quality education. They needed to study either the night before, the morning before children come to class. But there is an essential part of preparation. And I think that's true for us as parents as well. We continually prepare. And we continue to get ready for the next day. It doesn't mean that we are perfect. As I studied through this message, I recognize shortcomings in my own life, and I desire this message to be an encouragement this morning, not one of condemnation, but specifically to us as fathers and as parents to take teaching seriously. Let's read Deuteronomy chapter 6. We'll read the first 9 verses. I'll be reading from the King James Version, New King James Version. Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and all his commandments, which I command you, you and your son, your grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Verses 1 to 5, we have a call for personal preparation and a conviction to teach our children. First of all, we need to recognizing his commands that he gave here in this passage. The first verse says, now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and the judgments. What was Moses talking about here? If you look back in chapter 5, he just recounted the giving of the Ten Commandments, giving of the law. And he was telling the children of Israel, you must pass along these things as we enter into the promised land. And he comes to chapter 6, and Moses again reemphasizes this point that we must remember these commandments, these statutes and judgments. So we as teachers, we must take notice. What are the commandments, statutes, and judgments of God? Secondly, obeying his commands. Once we've received those, once we've recognized them, we have a response we have to make. In verses 2 and 3, there are four statements that I see here that are a call to obedience. Verse 2 talks about, fear the Lord your God, keep all his statutes and his commandments, all the days of your life. And verse 3 says, be careful to observe it. Pay attention. Pay attention and keep these things of central importance in your life. There's blessings of obeying these commands. As we personally recognize, obey, God has listed some blessings here. It says in verse 2 that your days would be prolonged. And I don't think that means you will live necessarily a long and lengthy life. But I think that means that God will make our days prosperous. He will make them productive. And maybe he will give us seemingly more time in a day than 24 hours, the opportunity to speak into our children's, into our families' lives. Also talks about that it may be well with you. Not necessarily perfection and everything working out how we desire, but I think it will allow us to recognize that all things work together for good. He also talks about multiplying greatly. I think that refers to coming into the promised land, that they would expand their borders and that they would have more land than they've ever had in their lives. I think for us, it can refer to the fact that our children will go forth. We are one person if we have children to send forth into the world. If we teach and train them correctly, it will multiply and grow. And fourthly, here in the first five verses, I see we need to personalize these commands that God has given. It needs to be a personal creed of our own life. Verses 4 and 5, these verses compose part of the Shema, or the Jewish prayer, and they say this multiple times a day. And it includes these two verses as well as some others from Deuteronomy as well. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And the personal creed we need to each claim should be to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. It's all-encompassing, and it must be the foremost thing in our minds, and that is serving the Lord. So as we think about education this morning, we want to look at three areas. It has been said that education is a three-legged stool. One leg is the home, one leg is the church, and one leg is school. And I agree with that statement this morning. I think that's accurate. I would say that maybe home carries more weight and maybe is a little larger leg in diameter than what the other two are, but they're all essential. But I want us to consider a little bit further this morning, a couple statements that I came across while studying, and evaluate education in your family, in your practice. First statement says, the three parts of education best serve the child when they are consistent in message and point him in the same direction. So as we think about home, church, and school, they need to be unified and need to be pointing our children in a common direction, in the direction that we desire to see them go. Second thing, only an education that has the ability to address the whole child, spiritually, intellectually, emotionally, and physically, reaches the possibility of excellence. We have a responsibility with these three areas to make sure that that happens in the lives of our children. So let's think about the home a little bit, and what are the responsibility for us as fathers? Baptist Press conducted a survey, and they found that if a child is the first person in a household to become a Christian, there's a 3.5% probability that everyone else in the household would follow. If the mother is the first to become a Christian, there's a 17% probability everyone else in the household would follow. However, when the father is first, it says that there is a 93% probability that everyone else in the household will follow. I think this survey, this report, confirms to us that fathers, we are the spiritual leaders in the home. We determine the direction of the home and the way it will go. We are responsible for helping to form the beliefs of our children and teaching them of faith in Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 3, verses 2 and 3, Paul says, "Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men, for as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart." Apostle Paul is saying, people are reading our lives as books. They are like the epistles that he is writing, but not with ink. It's by the Spirit of God. What is being written in our lives? Our children are observing us. As we teach them, they are looking to see if our lives match up to what we are teaching. Are we being consistent? They are watching us. So fathers, as the survey indicates, you lead and your children, your family will follow. So what are a few nuts and bolts as we think about education in the home? And this is not exhaustive this morning by any means. We don't have time to cover lots and lots of areas. But I'd just like to think about four areas in the home that we can work on. Four T words: teach, train, talk, and tackle. Deuteronomy 6, 7 to 9. Just want to reread those verses. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. So first of all, teaching. Teaching and training are very similar, but they are different. Teaching is instruction. It's more sitting down in a formal setting and communicating that way. Training is getting along beside a child and showing them how things are done and walking beside them to help them learn things. And I think some of our areas between teaching and training probably overlap at times. Sometimes they fall under teaching, sometimes they fall under training. So some of these things could probably be interchanged a little bit this morning. But the word teach in verse 7 of our text here refers to the idea of sharpening or using a whetstone. If you have ever sharpened knives for hunting or in the kitchen on a whetstone, it's continual friction. You sharpen that knife, you scrape it, and it continues to rub to refine the blade to make it sharp. So it is with our children. It must be constant, continual interaction. It must be deliberate. It must be consistent. So what are some important things to teach in the home? I think we would all recognize salvation this morning as a primary. It needs to be clearly communicated and talked about. And the elements of salvation, the need of a Savior, our sin nature, each area needs to be communicated. 2005 Barna Research Group survey, there were 707 people that they polled, and 366 were born-again Christians, so about half of this group. One out of five said instilling religious beliefs in their children was important. So that's 20% of this group of 700. But the number that kind of boggled my mind was the fact of the Christians, that only 3 out of 10 Christians included salvation as a critical part of their parenting. And it made me wonder, what is their priority in life if that is not their number one priority, to communicate a salvation experience, to follow Christ as a critical part of their parenting? We also need to communicate the fear of God, as I mentioned earlier in Proverbs. That is a foundational truth. We need to communicate that reverence, the awe, and respect for authority of God. We need to communicate His Word, and that is important. Romans 10:17 says, "So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." If we run that verse backwards, the Word of God, it needs to start there. As the children hear, it translates to faith. How do we share the Word of God in our homes? Scripture memorization, I think, is a vital part. I would encourage you as families to work together either as a family on Scripture Or maybe if you're homeschooling or part of a church school, you have a monthly scripture that can be memorized. I think it's very important to have scripture memory happen. Other places to share God's word, family devotions. As we have young children, we often use children's Bibles or children's storybooks. And I think that's okay for a certain age, but let's not rely on them long term for teaching our children the word of God. Use your Bible, pick it up, start with stories, start with narrative stories from scripture. And as your children become older, look more into doctrine, into teachings, into disciplines, and thought-producing passages. Teach them prayer. I think we'd all recognize that prayer is essential in our lives. Children enjoy prayer, so I'd encourage you to help them grow in that area. Whether it's mealtimes, family devotions, bedtime, instruct in prayer. Help them understand that we're talking to our Father God, that He wants to hear from us, and that they can share requests, they can share goals and desires from their hearts, but they also need to be willing to confess to God their sin, confess to God the things that they are struggling with. In the home, we also think about singing as an opportunity to teach our children. And some of you may say, well, our family's not a singing family. We're not gifted in that area. I don't think too many people are sitting around trying to hear you sing during your family worship time. So I'd encourage you to make an effort to sing, to share a love for God's music, and also the music choices of family. Just encourage, choose quality music. Choose to listen to singing that will help your children to learn to sing well in church. I think that's an important ingredient. What else do we teach in the home? We teach stewardship, money, tithing, giving. Dustin has done an excellent job the last number of weeks sharing with us on stewardship and finances. Help the children to understand that what we have is not ours. Help them understand that it is a gift from God that we have been entrusted to care for. Teach your children to work. And this is one that definitely falls in the area of teaching and training, I think. But as we think about work, my mind had to go to the verse that Paul talked about that I learned in school, and it always stuck in my mind, and it says, "And whatsoever you do, do unto the Lord and not unto men." Teach our children that we are working because God has asked us to, not to put on a show, not to look good, but because we have been asked to do it unto the Lord. And lastly, in the home, things to teach is church worship, corporate worship, that it is a priority. We need to communicate that when church is, when the doors are open, when the church is open, we will be here. It's not a choice that's always easy to make, but I think for educating our children correctly, we need to be here. Make it early on in life. It will make it much easier. Think about training now. Teach, then train. I like to think of training as faith in action. Be an example to your children in the way that you live out your life. I think Dustin may have actually shared this quote in his financial series, but I thought it fit well in overall training in family, and it was a quote from Rachel Cruz, which is Dave Ramsey's daughter, and it says, "I truly believe more is caught than taught, that what your kids see you do is a lot more powerful than what they hear you say. Words can be strong, but actions are stronger. The strongest impact on children, though, is when they hear and see a consistent message from their parents. When the parents' words and actions come together, it forms a powerful statement about that family's value system." Husbands and wives, let's work together in our teaching and training so that we're on the same page. Don't be afraid to let your children see you reading your Bible and spending time in prayer. What better way to train them than to let them see us actively participating in our faith? If we go to town, if we go to Menards, whatever, on a Saturday morning, be willing to speak a word for the Lord, and that may be sharing the gospel with someone, maybe seeing an acquaintance and encouraging each other with a scripture verse or whatever, but don't be afraid to speak of Christ and His word when your children are with you. Work alongside of them. Make work enjoyable. If you have a task to do at home, get them involved. It's not always convenient, and often it takes much longer to involve children in the task. But I would encourage letting them help and making work enjoyable and ingraining that work ethic into them at a young age. Train with everyday life events. I think we need to look for opportunities to do this. And as things happen, as we come to the end of the day, it gives us opportunity to talk with our children about why we do things the way we do. Recently, we had new neighbors move in across the road, and they were missionaries in Malawi, Africa, and because of some citizenship green card issues, they had to move back home. And the fellow's parents have been over there working on the house before they actually had arrived back home, and they had shared with us a little bit of the story, and they had to come back at very short notice, and so they don't have much for possessions and much for stuff to fill a house. And we had talked to the boys about that. And in this process, we needed to get a new dresser for them at home. They had outgrown the small dresser that held small clothes for small boys, and now that they're growing, we needed a bigger dresser to hold clothes for bigger boys. And we had put the new dresser in the room, and we hadn't taken out the smaller old dresser yet. And Angie and I were talking about, well, what do we do with this dresser? Do we put it on the garage sale? Do we put it in Chloe's room? What do we do with this? And as we talked about it, we thought, well, it'd be a good opportunity to ask these people across the road if they could use this dresser. They have a little boy, and it might be something they would use and appreciate. And so we called or we text them, and they said, yeah, a piece of furniture that they would use. And so one evening we loaded it up in the car and took the drawers out and stacked them and put it in the back of the car and took it across the road. And the boys wanted to go along. And so we unloaded it, and I made sure they got involved with carrying in the drawers and helping unload this and taking it into the house. And when we got home that evening, as we were going to bed, I asked the boys about it, and we talked about being willing to give of our possessions and being able to bless people. And then we talked about the fact that Jesus gave us a gift as well. He gave us his son, Jesus Christ, who died for us. And it leads to opportunities to share our faith in practical ways with our children. So I would encourage you to take advantage when those situations arise. We train by talking with respect for people in authority. When we come home from work, do we complain about our day at work? Do we complain about the people we work for, the people we work with? Do we complain about the politicians in Washington? Do we belittle and degrade those people? Let's talk respectfully so our children learn that as well. We talked about giving already, and I would just encourage if you have money that you are giving away as a gift or a blessing above and beyond your tithe, let your children participate in some of those opportunities. They will come up with good ideas as to where money and where blessings can go. So teach, train, and talk. I think this probably starts to happen more as our children become older. And this morning, I'm not there. My children are still young. We're starting to have opportunities to talk and discuss things of faith. But as your children enter preteen and teen years, be open for discussion. As they become youth, ask them, what are their beliefs and worldviews? Don't just assume that they have picked up the correct perspective always. Ask them questions. Interact on those things. We have many tragedies that occur from week to week, it seems, in the United States of school shootings and anger and protests and so forth. And children hear about those things and they have questions. Take the opportunity to talk about the depravity of man and the need of a Savior. And the last T is tackle. And by tackle, I'm referring to discipline this morning. We know in football, the defense is trying to stop whoever has a football. They're trying to tackle them as quick as they can. And the same is true for us, I think, in discipline. We need to tackle. Now, in football, you can't just tackle any way you want to. You can't grab them by the face mask and throw them down. You can't grab them by the shoulders and throw them down. You have to be careful where you hit them with your helmet. So it is for us in discipline. We need to stop our children. We need to tackle them. We must be careful in the way that we do that. Discipline is essential if we want to achieve our goals for raising godly children. Proverbs 29, 15, and 17. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. So we see discipline is necessary. It must be done out of love. It can't be done out of anger or selfishness. Children will resent that and will react. It must be consistent, and it must be done swiftly and with strength. Don't delay on discipline. Take care of it quickly. Charles Spurgeon said, if we never have headaches through rebuking our children, we shall have plenty of heartaches when they grow up. I think he's right. There's going to be some bumps along the road. There's going to be challenges. But if we aren't willing to accept those and continue on, there will be heartaches in the future. The second area of education is the church. I think often in our society, the church is looked at as a replacement for teaching for the home. But I want to say this morning that the church is only a reinforcement for what we as families teach in our homes. It's not a replacement. And the church has several modes of education for young to old. And every believer is involved in the education of people here at Living Water. Now, we look at preaching as the primary means of education, I think, in the church. The Word of God being expounded and presented and shared. We also have Sunday school. And I just want to encourage teachers, as you teach each Sunday morning, as you take your month slot or whatever our assignments are, you have the opportunity to handle the Word of God and to share it with the rest of the church. It's a significant responsibility, I believe, but it's also a blessing and an opportunity to teach and instruct. Children's teachers upstairs, I want to encourage you as well. You have an opportunity to share the gospel, to impact lives each and every Sunday. It's the most important message that our children can hear. Don't underestimate the impact you can have. Please, please share from the Word of God with our children. It helps to reinforce what they hear at home. Other areas of education in church: singing and worship, prayer, vacation Bible school, kids club, youth group. We have an opportunity, Ryan and Liz and the other sponsors have an opportunity to impact the lives of the youth. Men, we have the opportunity to meet on Saturday mornings a couple times a month, and for one of the men to share and to instruct on a subject and to discuss together. It's an opportunity for education. Take advantage of it. Some of you might say, well, you haven't mentioned anything that I do to help in this education process. Just remind you of a couple things. Baptism, baby dedication. We often have parents respond to some questions. And then there's a question presented to us as a congregation. And it's asked if we would be willing to teach, instruct, hold accountable those that have been baptized, if we're willing to support and help those that have children and young families, and we're asked to stand together if we're willing to do that as a church. And so each one of us here at Living Water are involved in the education process of children. The last component of education is school. Does school matter? Is it important? If we think about God, we say God is truth, and he has created all things. If we believe that, which I trust we do, then therefore the study of things in this world is the study of truth, and truth is God. So essentially, by saying that God is truth and he's created everything, when we look at his creation, now there are some things obviously that can be taught that are not part of God's creation, but as we look at things that are taught in regards to God's creation, we say they are truth. And if it is truth, we need to study it and recognize that it is truth from God. I believe school must be done correctly. And I think maybe in our Anabaptist circles in the past, it has been a little bit of a, well, it's just school, it doesn't matter, let's get them through school, get them a job, and have them move on. And I would like to push back against that, I guess, a little bit. I think education does matter, because if we believe we're learning the truth of God, even if it is academic and scholastic type of things, if we believe that God has ordained truth and has created truth in his creation, then it must be learned well. I don't think the idea of, oh, well, hope it's good enough quite qualifies and should not be the standard by which we live. Here in America, we have three options for schooling our children in academics. We have the option of homeschool, Christian school, and public school. Parents, you have to decide which option helps you achieve the goals of education for your children. May I remind you of the statement earlier that I had up on the screen that says, these three parts of education, church, home, school, best serve the child when they are consistent in message and point them in the same direction. So I would encourage you, as you evaluate your education process and what you're going to do for school, that you make sure it points in the direction of Jesus Christ. For those of you that are homeschooling, I bless you in that. I would just say, make sure it's done correctly. Make sure that the education is thorough. Make sure that it is meeting requirements that state or whatever would require. For those of you in Christian schools, which is where Angie and I find ourselves, just because they're in a Christian school does not mean that we can fall asleep on the job in our teaching and training at home. Doesn't mean that we can fall asleep in the training that happens at church. So parents, if your children are in Christian school, be aware. Be alert. It's not a replacement for what happens at home. For those of you in public school, I would say be aware of what is being taught in our public schools. And not just what is taught, but be aware of what is being caught by your students. What are the subtle things that they pick up on? Be in tune with them and be aware of what is going on. I think 2 hours on Sunday morning and an hour on Wednesday make it tough to counter 35 hours of education that our children receive during the week. And if we're in a public school environment, be aware of those 35 hours of non-Christian input during the week. Make an extra effort. I think you're going to have to counter that time. Put forth extra effort to give spiritual input and direction into your children's lives. But again, as you evaluate school, think about which option best fulfills the goals that God has in mind to raise our children, to point them towards his kingdom. In closing, four summary statements, or four thoughts, I guess, not necessarily summary, but four thoughts to finish up the message. If you don't teach your child, someone will. For effective education to happen, there needs to be a relationship between teacher and student. Number three, our goals for our children need to go far beyond what we can do in our own strength. God is waiting to be invited to help in the process. And we didn't discuss that a lot this morning, but I do believe prayer and coming to the Lord is a vital ingredient into raising our children and to teaching them. And lastly, education is a lifestyle choice. It requires prayer, tears, work, time, and commitment to Christ and his word to effectively share the gospel and to communicate that. I trust this morning you've been challenged to consider education, and I realize the message is directed at fathers specifically and to families. But Moses gave words there of encouragement in the passage that we read. And he said that you may fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you and your son and your grandson. So, grandparents, you have the opportunity to speak into the lives of grandchildren, I believe aunts, uncles, and so forth. Let's create a culture of education that points people points children towards Jesus Christ. Let's stand for prayer. Lord, this morning we come before you. Lord, as we think about education and the whole process, Lord, a sermon doesn't do justice to the amount of material thoughts, processes that need to happen. And I just pray that the word that was shared this morning would skim the surface, that it would at least implant some things into our hearts and minds, that we must be thorough, that we must be consistent, that we must teach and train in the home. The church has a responsibility, and with our academic and scholastic studies as well, that they would all point back to you as Jesus Christ, as Lord and Savior in our lives. Pray for each family here at Living Water, Lord, that you would give them courage, boldness, a desire to be faithful in teaching. For the older ones here that maybe no longer have children in the home, that they would walk beside the younger families and encourage and exhort and give instruction. I just pray that you would be with us as we leave this place this morning. Lord, that we would be challenged to serve you in every area of our life. We just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.